Welcome back, everybody, to another deep dive. Today we're tackling a subject I think we all deal with at some point in our lives, grief. And we're going to be focusing specifically on verses about Jesus and how he dealt with sorrow and loss, both his own and the grief of others. You know, it just makes you think, how did Jesus, being both fully God and fully human, how did he approach all that?
Yeah, it's a really fascinating question, and we've got a really interesting mix of sources today, Bible verses, commentaries, and we're hoping that, by the end of this deep dive, you'll walk away with some helpful insights into how Jesus dealt with grief and how that might be relevant for us today, thousands of years later.
Exactly. Okay, so let's dive in. I think one of the most powerful verses we have about Jesus and grief is actually one of the shortest. Jesus wept from John 11:35. What makes this verse so impactful for you?
On the surface, it's just two words. But to me, it's such a powerful image of Jesus's empathy, right? He was at Lazarus's tomb, and even though he knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, he still wept. He allowed himself to feel the pain of Lazarus's sisters, Martha and Mary, and to share in their grief.
That's a great point. It shows us that even though Jesus was God, he was also fully human, and he wasn't afraid to express his emotions. I think that's something that's really important for us to remember, especially when we're going through our own times of grief. We don't have to pretend to be strong all the time. It's okay to just let ourselves feel those
Yeah,
emotions.
you don't have to bottle it up. You don't have to have all the answers.
Right. And that makes his humanity so much more real and relatable, don't you think? But then there are other verses where Jesus expresses his grief in a much more intense way, like in Matthew 26:38, right before he's arrested, where he says, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." That's heavy stuff.
It really is.
Yeah.
And we see a similar expression of anguish in Hebrews 5:7, where it talks about Jesus offering up prayers and supplications, with loud cries and tears. What's so interesting here is that while Jesus wept shows us empathy for the grief of others, these verses show his own very human struggle with the weight of what was to come. It's a very raw and vulnerable side of Jesus that we don't always see.
It really is. I mean, we've all felt overwhelmed by things in our lives. But to hear Jesus, the Son of God, expressing that kind of anguish, it just shows that he truly understands what it's like to be human, to feel the weight of the world on your shoulders, and that maybe it's okay for us to feel that way sometimes too.
Exactly. And I think that's such an important message for us today, especially in a world that often tells us to just keep it together. It's a reminder that it's okay to not be okay. And Jesus had moments where he felt overwhelmed by grief, by fear, by the weight of his mission.
So we see how Jesus grieved. We see that even in his grief, he never lost his humanity. But what about when he encountered other people who were grieving?
Well, one story that always comes to mind is the story of the widow of Nain, which we find in Luke 7:13.
Okay, yeah, that's a powerful one. Refresh my memory what happens in that story.
So Jesus is entering the town of Nain, and he comes across a funeral procession. A widow is burying her only son, and you can just imagine the depth of her grief. This is her only child, her source of support and hope, and now he's gone. And the story tells us that Jesus, when he saw her, was filled with compassion for her.
Yeah, I remember now. And then he does the unthinkable. He stops the procession, speaks to the young man, and raises him from the dead.
Right. It's such a powerful image of Jesus's empathy and his power to bring comfort and restoration. And it's not just about the miracle itself, but the way Jesus approaches the woman. His tenderness, his understanding, his willingness to step into her pain and do something about it.
It's such a great example for all of us, isn't it? It's a reminder that sometimes the most powerful comfort we can offer is simply being present with someone who is grieving, acknowledging their pain, and offering a listening ear and a compassionate heart. We don't always need to have the answers or say the perfect word. Sometimes just being there is enough.
Absolutely. But the widow at Nain isn't the only person Jesus comforted in their grief.
Yeah.
We see it again in John 11 with Martha and Mary after Lazarus dies.
Yeah, and in that story, Jesus doesn't immediately perform a miracle. Instead, he offers Martha these really profound words. "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." Do you believe this?
That's right. And I think it's so interesting to compare how he interacted with each grieving person. He met them where they were at emotionally and offered comfort in a way that was specific to their needs.
I like how you put that he met them where they were at. I think that's such a key takeaway for all of us. But before we get too deep into that, maybe we should take a moment to connect this back to you listening right now. Have you ever had to comfort someone who is grieving? What do you think we can learn from Jesus's approach, both in this story with Martha and in the story of the widow of Nain?
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? He approaches each grieving person with such a deep understanding of a human heart, you know? And he doesn't offer these empty platitudes or try to force a quick fix. He just is there, present with them in their pain.
Yeah, and I think that's a really powerful lesson for us. We don't always have to have the right words or know exactly what to do. Sometimes the most comforting thing we can do is just be there for someone to listen without judgment and offer our presence as a source of support.
Exactly. And, you know, it's not just in his actions that we see Jesus' understanding of grief. He also taught about it directly, like in the Beatitudes. You know, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Matthew 5.4.
Right. That one always kind of throws me for a loop. We don't usually think of mourning as a blessing, do we? It seems almost counterintuitive.
It does, doesn't it? But I think it's important to remember that the word blessed in this context goes beyond just, you know, happiness. Mm. It's more about a state of spiritual wholeness, of being in right relationship with God.
So are you saying that mourning itself can actually be a path to a deeper experience of God's comfort and grace?
I think so, yes. It's like in those moments of vulnerability, when we're stripped bare by grief, we become more open to God's presence. We're more willing to let go of our own ideas of how things should be and lean into something bigger than ourselves.
That's a really powerful thought. It reminds me of the saying, the cracks are where the light gets in. You know, it's often in those broken places, those times of deep sorrow, that we experience God's love and grace most profoundly.
I love that. And, you know, this idea of sorrow turning to joy is something that Jesus talked about a lot in John 16.2 too. He tells his disciples, "So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you."
That's such a beautiful and comforting promise, especially for those who are grieving the loss of a loved one. It's a reminder that grief is not the end of the story. It's just a chapter, a season. And on the other side of that season, there's a promise of joy and reunion.
Yes, exactly. And you see that promise taken to an even grander scale in Revelation 21.4, where it describes a future where grief and suffering will be completely eradicated. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.
Wow. He will wipe away every tear. I don't know about you, but sometimes it's hard to even fathom that level of peace and healing.
I know, right?
Yeah.
It's almost beyond our comprehension. But it's a powerful reminder that even in the midst of our deepest sorrows, there's hope. There's a promise of a future where pain and loss will be no more.
So we've seen how Jesus experienced grief, comforted others, and offered profound teachings about sorrow and hope. As we start to wrap things up, what would you say are some of the key takeaways for us? How can we apply these insights to our own lives and the lives of those around us?
Well, I think one of the biggest takeaways here is just the power of empathy. You know, just like Jesus met people in their grief, we can do the same. It's not about having all the answers right. It's about simply being present, listening, and offering comfort without judgment.
Yeah, I think that's so important. And, you know, sometimes it's easier to offer comfort to others than it is to comfort ourselves, right? We've talked about how it's okay to not be okay. But do you have any advice on how we can actually, like, apply that to our own lives when we're the ones going through a tough time?
I think it starts with giving ourselves permission to grieve. Don't try to bottle it up or pretend you're not hurting. Allow yourself to feel the emotions, even the difficult ones. Mm-hmm. And just like we talked about offering comfort to others, offer it to yourself. Be kind, be patient, and don't be afraid to reach out for support when you need it.
That's a great point. Sometimes we're so hard on ourselves and we forget that we deserve the same compassion and grace that we would offer to a friend. And I think remembering those verses about Jesus grieving, it just makes it so much more relatable. You know, like, he gets it. He's been there.
Exactly. He understands our pain in a way that no one else can. Yeah. And that's why I find those verses about the future, you know, like the one from Revelation where it talks about God wiping away every tear. Those are so powerful because they remind us that even though grief is a part of life, it's not the end of the story. There's a promise of healing, of restoration, of a future where sorrow and pain will be no more.
It's like even in the midst of those dark times, there's a glimmer of light, a spark of hope that can help us keep going.
Absolutely. And I think that's something worth holding on to, don't you?
Absolutely. Well, this deep dive has been so insightful, and I think there's a lot here for all of us to think about. As we all go back to our lives, I want to leave you with this. In the midst of all the ups and downs, how can you be a source of comfort and hope, both for yourself and for the people around you?
That's a great question to ponder. And remember, you don't have to have all the answers. Sometimes the most powerful thing you can do is simply be present, listen with an open heart, and offer a hand to hold.
Thanks for joining us for another deep dive. Until next time.